Welcome back to Aware. Hi, this is Lisa Garr. With such a powerful story as Vaishali's, I thought it was appropriate to continue this conversation about overcoming adversity with some practical tools on how to achieve happiness no matter where you start from. My next guest, Charlene Proctor, has written a book on the 7 spiritual lessons on female power and positive thinking. It's called Let Your Goddess Grow. Despite the title, this conversation also addresses men. Charlene, what inspired you to write a book about women's empowerment? Do you think this is still a problem in the U.S.?
I do. I was never shown an idea of female power when I was growing up, and I didn't think there was a process that could really help lead myself to an area of self-power that made any sense. And I didn't really see that happening in traditional religion. And due to the family I grew up, we had a very male point of view on success and careers. And now what I do as a writer and as a researcher is I help women develop this positive self-image that really helps them create the reality that they want. And that's pretty much why I wrote the book and what it's about.
Well, let's talk about some of the spiritual lessons, because these are very practical tools and very helpful as well. What is the first lesson? I want me to help you?
Well, the lessons I think that lead women back to a sense of empowerment begin with insight, and that's all about letting go of fear and self-doubt and guilt, and to really learn tools and techniques that help us adopt a new attitude on change. And I think that's really important. Especially for women, we really have a lot of trouble letting go of the past. I think we keep rehashing things until unforgiveness settles in permanently. So I think there's a lot of work to be done, especially in that area, and I certainly see that a lot when I work with women, homeless women in shelters and so forth. And if you'd like, we can talk more about that. But basically, the rest of the book, I teach people how to be more balanced, and why women manage problems and look at life so much differently than men.
With the book, The Female Brain? Wasn't that fascinating?
It was a wonderful book.
Luanne Brizendine, the author, talks about how the emotional center in the brain is not only the first center in the female brain to develop, but it's the largest center of the brain in women compared to men.
Absolutely.
So it makes sense why we can't let go of our emotions as easily.
It's true. And you know what else is great about that book was that we learned that there is a center area of the brain, this corpus callosum, that's so much denser than in a man, statistically speaking. So in the female brain, we have so much better ability to transfer information back and forth from left to right side of the brain. So what that means is that when women problem solve, and this is really important for men to understand, we're pulling information for both our intuitive side as well as our rational and analytical sides. We really can't be logical, mechanistic robots when we're problem-solving, and that's where all this emotional perspective comes in, which I think is the healthy way because that's the way we are designed to be.
It's fascinating. What's the part of the brain, and we're going off topic here, but what is the part of the brain for women that need it done now? What is that? Because
I think that's the stress from society.
I swear to God.
I think that's what we read about in the magazines about having to get everything done on time, and it is just so impossible. We're so stressed out because we're supposed to be complexity managers of the universe, and it's when we absolutely short circuit and go on overload. And the worst thing about it, in my opinion, is that we don't have any room for our personal and spiritual growth, because we're constantly filling our space up and not looking deeper inside within to find the truth of our being.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
And it's not about, I had this conversation with my husband the other day, because there's clothes left on the bathroom floor, right? For like maybe 3 or 4 days, please pick up the clothes. Please, they're his clothes. Please pick them up. He's like, why do you need it done now? And I find myself envious of his ability to let it slide.
Yeah.
I mean, it really doesn't need to be done that minute. Okay, 3 days is a little too long, but
it just keeps going back on our task list. And I don't know if you're like me, but I'm one of these Virgo anal retentive people.
Oh yeah, because it is the only thing I actually can control is the clothes on the floor. Everything else is out of control, but I can control those clothes.
I absolutely feel better and healthier when everything is put in its place.
Yes.
I really do. And that's just me. Not every person can be like that, and certainly not all women are like that. But there's such a comfort for many of us in just being orderly and having things put in the right spot. So, you know, if men could just pick their socks up off the floor, we'd be so much happier. And we wouldn't have to manage just one more detail, because actually, and this is another great thing about that book, is that it talked about our brains and how we're wired. We're wired to keep taking everything all in all the time. That's the thing about, you know, the corpus callosum on the left and the right side of the brain, as I was saying. We're supposed to be holistic thinkers. So we can't compartmentalize like men in our problem in decision-making. And so it makes us robust and compassionate and emotional creatures, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing. And women absolutely don't appreciate that sense of themselves enough. We're brought up in, you know, the past 100, 200, 300 years in the workforce to problem solve and think like men in the workplace. We haven't adopted a tradition of our own value set. We did long ago, but we're revisiting that now, and that's one of my jobs as a writer and a teacher, is to help kind of revitalize that with women and get men as well to appreciate it.
It's very important, and I had said earlier, despite the title of Letting Your Goddess Grow, it's not excluding men. These conversations about women and how our brains think and how we work in the workplace and where we've come over the last 50 years and so forth is so helpful to men in terms of being able to relate to your female employees or your female boss or your sister, mother, the, you know, wife, let alone the, you know, significant other in your life. It's very, very important for, you know, all around. You write about the corporate soul, and you usually don't see those two words together. In terms of using your spirituality to guide you through your work life, that conversation, it's weird to most people. And they say that word, something weird happened to me today. How many times it has happened, no matter what the size of the miracle, it's always called weird.
Well, I think that because intuition has got such a lousy, you know, aura around it over the years. If we, and women are so great at that, if we were not meant to use intuition in our decision making, then why do we have it in the first place? I mean, to me, that's just common sense. You don't need a scientist to tell you that. I think that our intuition in the workplace is very undervalued. And I know it's absurd to say you're going to go in a marketing meeting or sales meeting and justify, you know, the production of some new product based upon your intuition.
Right.
But I'll tell you, there are a lot more books and TV shows coming out that are emphasizing that the more we learn how to harness intuition as a valid decision-making process, people are happier, they're more productive, and things get done. Now, going back to the corporate soul thing, I have to say this, is that a lot of, and I talk about this in the book, is about men and women power. Power is the same, you know, no matter how we demonstrate it on Earth, but women see their ability, and this is so true, to give compassion and nurturing as a really fantastic strength. A man can articulate that, but the problem is that they can't deploy it in our policies and our corporations. And the tendency for men, especially in the workplace, is to make it a zero-sum game. It's always about winning. And I think that just kind of goes against our grain, and my personal theory is, which is hugely unscientific, is that women, if you look at the statistics now, women are having so many more heart attacks at such a younger age. I think it's that, especially with the pressures of work, we're so out of sync with our own value set. And
we try to behave like men.
Oh, yeah, we work totally differently, and we value so many different things. And
yeah.
You know, and there's such a thing as human values that we all share, but women do think differently, and we need to come back to the sense of ourselves and appreciate it, I think, to be balanced and to bring that into our relationships. And then everybody wins, right?
Yes, yes. You know, I have worked with some women, especially in the television production field, that you have to compete so heavily. It's a very competitive field anyway, but when you're competing with men who have been in the business for 50 years and you're a fresh, new idea, female, young, I've seen women literally just take on a full-on male energetic energy. So to the fact that maybe they get some type of ovarian cancer, or you don't even see femininity in them any longer,
mm-hmm.
and it just can, so that they can compete in that world. And I've always wondered, how do you hold on to your femininity and still compete in that world?
Well, and I think, oh, go ahead.
I'm sorry, it's the same in Wall Street. It's the same everywhere.
Mm-hmm. I think that especially, and I could talk about this for an hour, but I won't, is that when the movie The Secret came out,
yeah.
that really was a wonderful, wonderful movie. And that, in terms of what you just said, ideas like that about setting a new mental equivalent for success, we just need to kind of reset our buttons. In terms of women, and this is one thing that I do in my lectures and workshops, is that no matter where we are at home or in our relationships or at work, the female perspective on matters, the power of intuition, patience, the reverence for nature, the knowledge of the holy unity of all things, these are distinctly feminine values. And I don't think that we're interested in squashing men. What we want to do is marry these traditional masculine ideas of rule and reason and passion for order and structure and left brain and control, but practice life from this balanced point of view. We want both the masculine and the feminine together. That's what makes a self-image balance, and that's what makes us really healthy as people. And we have to find ways to rekindle that.
Mm, absolutely. And you have done an amazing amount of work with women over the years. There's a program that I'd love you to share with us about called Lighthouse.
Mm.
What is that program, and how have you helped other women get empowered?
Lighthouse Path. There's a residential facility outside the Detroit area, and what they do is that they house single homeless mothers. These women come to this facility. They're referred by other agencies, and most of them come from domestic violence scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
They come to this facility, and they're allowed to live there for up to 2 years. And during that time, and these people, believe me, are miracle workers. They have a 91% rate on getting these women educated and getting them into a mindset of self-sufficiency and economic autonomy. But what I do with them is that I take the last leg for them, and I work very closely with them after they're out of their crisis stage,
mm-hmm.
and I bring them in for workshops and lectures, mostly based upon the material in these last two books that I wrote, how to restructure their thinking, how to feel worthy again, and to really get them to release the past and move forward. And I'll tell you, when we learn, no matter if we're homeless, single mother, or we're just who we are right now, our strength in life is about living in the present moment. And once we understand we are all individual sparks of divine power, and that power is from within, and we begin to understand that we choose our circumstances in life, that is when we begin to create new opportunities for ourselves. And that is what I teach these women. And I'll tell you, they are smart, they are motivated, and I'll tell you, that is a big mythbuster right there on the homeless. These ladies want to get better, and they're so open to it, and it's just, I feel so honored to be teaching them. It's transformative. It really is.
For you as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can imagine that. And, I mean, when you first said that we choose our circumstances in life, it's hard to hear.
It is the most difficult assumption to unseat, not just for them, but for all of us to move from a victim mentality to one of self-confidence and power, and to get up every day and say, today is the day. Today is the day I'm in charge of my destiny. I'm going to have faith in the process of life, and to think affirmatively and positively about everything that I want and what I would become. And that's why I'm recommending. As a matter of fact, we had a workshop last night on resiliency. That's one of the lessons in Let Your Goddess Grow, mm-hmm. how to start over and, you know, make a comeback in life. And we talked about this movie, The Secret. I think I'm going to buy it for them so they watch it, because they really need to understand this.
Everybody gets something different out of the movie The Secret.
Have you seen it?
Oh, yes, several times.
I'm making my teenage kids watch it right now.
Yes, my 4-year-old's watching it. She's great. She knows all about the law of attraction.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and wouldn't it be great for us if we had seen that when we were 4?
Yes.
I think I would have had so much of an easier time with life if I would have been able to institute those ideas from a very young age. I would have felt more empowered.
I don't know, to be honest with you, because it's hard to look back and everything is exactly as it should be. But my daughter, who's 4, who understands the law of attraction, who understands that you can create your own destiny, says to me, "Mommy, I'm not going to school." And I'm like, ew, this backfired. So, you know, she's also has to understand that there are laws and structure in the universe, which
there's the action part of it.
She can defy right now. So, yeah, it's took a little bit of a flip there.
You know what I was talking about last night in the workshop? Because when we do resiliency, we build this big well in our office at the Goddess Network. And I teach them about water and the whole symbolism in that, in the flow of life. And one of the things I tell everybody, and this was reminded, I reminded myself of this again when I watched the movie The Secret, was to get up every day and with this attitude of gratitude, and to get in the shower. And I did this morning. I took a shower of gratitude. I love that whole phrase.
Nice.
You know, a shower of gratitude. And if you get up every day and you do that, I know it might sound silly, but to go over 10 things that you're grateful for, because the law of attraction states that the more we think about and the more we put out there mentally, we resonate, we vibrate with those ideas, because we're all energy anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're thinking grateful thoughts and naming off, clicking off all these things that we are so thankful for, then the universe will just bring us more things to be thankful for. And that's such an easy lesson for us to teach our 4-year-olds you know, how we can just attract those things like magnets in our life. And I'll tell you, it takes a lot of self-awareness and self-discipline. And this is one of the things I teach these women, that is part of their empowered mindset, that until they have the discipline to do that, they're not going to take charge of what they're creating once they get on the outside. And I'll tell you, the pressures to them when they get out of the facility are huge.
I can imagine.
Life just comes at them so quickly, and I want them so very much to succeed, and so far, so good.
Well, that's amazing, and that's wonderful work that you're doing.
Thanks.
And yeah, we were talking yesterday about how these thoughts are cumulative in the quantum field. So if you're having negative thought upon negative thought upon negative thought, it just starts to perpetuate negativity,
mm-hmm.
and then you express negativity to your world and it just expresses it right back to you.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're in the middle of that spiral, you can actually stop it by creating positive thoughts about anything and starting to change your language, and 3 or 4 different sentences can actually start to turn that energy around, and then you can start to accumulate positivity,
mm-hmm.
and move into that place of completely changing your horrible day into a good day,
mm-hmm.
just by changing your words and the way that you look at things. So it's true.
And words, isn't it true? The words are so important. I mean, that just comes right out of our power center. And it's so powerful to speak the thought after you have it. It really is. And I'll tell you, I work with the homeless women with this all the time, because they're so locked up. And I tell them, and we have to give them things to read out loud, because they have so much trouble finding their own voice. And that's
course,
kind of
yeah.
a typical thing when you have domestic people who have been in domestic violent relationships. You know, they're very locked up, and some of them come in and they're like sitting in fetal positions and so forth. And I tell them they got to open that mouth and they have to vocalize attracting those good ideas. They have to speak that out loud, and it really helps. And you can think it, But if you really want the power, use the word, because once that comes out of your mouth, I'll tell you, it makes it a lot more powerful.
It changes your disposition. Even if you're, you know, in a safe, just being in a safe place, in your own little space or cubbyhole or bathroom or wherever, you can start saying these words in your car, wherever you are, it will start to transform the way that you approach any situation. They're very, very powerful words.
It is.
Well, thank you very much for your work and what you do. I should probably call today the Female Empowerment Show. I have some great women on today. So the name of the Charlene Proctor's book is called Let Your Goddess Grow, Seven Spiritual Lessons on Female Power and Positive Thinking. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. And you also have the website for the Goddess Network.
Mm-hmm.
And that's thegoddessnetwork.net.
Thegoddessnetwork.net. And for all of your listeners today, we're running a special on the book. If they want to call our toll-free number after the show, they can. I give it out?
Yeah, sure.
1-800-397-5761.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right, we will talk very soon.
All right, thanks.